Boy, I'm y'all might get the cookie today over here on this. Y'all did good. I don't have one, but it looks good everywhere. I love it when people bring your Bible. Amen. Man, listen, when I teach and preach something, man, I want you to see it in the Word. It don't matter what I say. I'm just a man. But I'm going to tell you, if it's in the Word of God, boy, you can settle on it. You can count on it. In the day of trouble, in any other day. Amen. I want to talk about faith for your future. Faith for your future. 2011 is in your future. It's in your future. Last week we talked about letting go of what's behind. You can't move on until you let go of what's behind. We've seen that tragic situation in people's lives, haven't we? Maybe you know someone now that they can't move forward in life. They can't move forward in the good things of God because they can't let go of something in the past. Maybe it was a hurt. Maybe it was a wound. Maybe they were done wrong. Whatever it was, maybe they failed. Anybody in here besides me ever failed? Listen, just because you failed, that doesn't make you a failure. It's only if you live at that place where you failed that makes you a failure. Move on. And so I want to talk about faith for your future this morning. Turn to Hebrews 11. I want to begin in a very familiar portion of Scripture. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Boy, you ever felt like in following God that you didn't know where you were going? Well, hallelujah. You must be in faith. You must be walking in faith. Because it says here, Abraham, the first thing Abraham noticed when he began to this walk of faith with God is that God called him out to a place and he didn't know where he was going. Listen, stop trying to be the pilot. You are what? The passenger. Isn't that right? Yeah, you know, what you need to do is just stay in the car. Don't get out at the rest stop. You know, stay in the car. The car is God's plan, God's purpose for you. You stay in that. It says that Abraham went out, and notice he said he went out. Now, I want you to notice something here, that not only did he go in a place he didn't know, but listen to this. Without a word from God, you have nowhere to go. He went out because what? He had a word. Now, he didn't know where he was going, but he left on the journey because what? He had a word. I want to ask you something. Do you have a word for your life, for your future in 2011? You know, that's why, I think it's a week after next, we're going to enter a time as a church of prayer and fasting. And one of the purposes of that is for you. You need to get a word for your future because otherwise you're not going to have anywhere to go. If you don't have a word from God, it doesn't matter what you do. It ain't going to be right. Isn't that right? I'm trying to help you. I'm talking about faith for your future. So the first thing it says about Abraham, it says he went out not knowing. So first thing you got to do is you got to get a word. So faith begins with getting a word from God. I want to read you something here. I want to read this a scripture out of the Amplified here from Hebrews. Listen to this. Urged on by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went forth to a place which he was destined to receive as an inheritance. That word that God speaks to you, listen, that is your inheritance for 2011. And he says, if you will hear it, if you will obey it and pursue it, there is a destiny tied to it for your future. I like when God guarantees something. Oh, I like a God guarantee. I mean, man, you know, years ago, you don't hear about it quite as much, but you know, used to years ago, when they said money back guarantee, boy, that was a big deal. I'm dating myself a little bit. But they used to say money back guarantee. And I remember years ago with Sears and Roebuck. Remember Sears and Roebuck? Boy, it's guaranteed by Sears. Boy, you could take it to the bank. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a greater guarantee. But listen, it's only tied to those who have faith for their future. Only tied to the word that God speaks and that you obey, like Abraham. And you may go out not knowing. You won't know how God's going to make it happen. It may look like you can't figure it out in your noodle up here. You can't work it all out. It looks like everything is against what God says. But listen, you've got to start out the walk of faith by doing this, not knowing. God, I don't know how in the world you're going to do this. I don't know how, Lord, this seems like way too big a word for me. This seems like way too big a work to do in my family. This just seems like too great a blessing and a promise. But God, I'm not going to look at myself. I may be going out not knowing all the ifs, ands, and buts. But bless God, I know I've got a word from the Lord for 2011. I've got faith for my future. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of the Lord. So you got to get a word from the Lord. It says, I want to read from one other scripture too, because I want to bring out some points here about our faith walk. About our faith walk. I want to read from the Living. Listen to this. I love this. He went out, not knowing where he was going, and when he had reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner. Now, I have lived as a missionary in other nations and in other cultures. And I remember the first time I ever went, I went to Bolivia. I hadn't met Cindy yet. That's where we met. You all know the story. I don't want to get her stirred up because our anniversary is coming up and she'll want to come up here and tell you everything. But that's for another day. It's a love story. But, you know, I found out when I got there, everything was strange to me. The language was strange. The buildings looked strange. The streets looked strange. The smells were strange. The way they did business was strange. Everything was different. What? Why? Because I was what? A foreigner. When you first respond to God's will and word and direction for your life, it will feel strange to you. It will seem odd to you. It will seem like this is impossible. This doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem to fit. This doesn't. But God says you just keep living in it by faith. As a foreigner with that promise. That word may seem very foreign to you. That word may seem like it's a couple of sizes too big to you. But I got news with you. If you will walk in faith, you'll grow into it. Man, I remember, you know, when we grew up, we didn't have a whole lot. I mean, that's an understatement. My kids think I grew up like Little House on the Prairie. It was just about that way. But I remember, Mom, she didn't have a whole lot of money. Man, my mom, bless her heart. Man, I know she's got a great reward. You know, this was back before we knew what about single moms and latchkey kids and all. We didn't have all those buzzwords. You know, all I knew is I came home and Mom was at work and I had to take care of my little brother. I didn't know all this other stuff. But, you know, I remember Mom, she'd buy some, man, if you got a new pair of blue jeans, oh, boy, that was big. That was big. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, that was big. A new pair of jeans. But Mom always got them a whole lot longer than they really needed to be. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, man. Mom say, you know, but Mom's favorite word, she'd roll them things up, but she'd always say, if I complained about it, Mom would say, you'll grow into them. And that's right. She was right. And that's what she did. She wasn't just buying them for right now. She was buying. She knew those things had to last. Listen, the word God gives you right now in the beginning of this year, you may say, it doesn't look like any way this could come to pass. Doesn't look like any way God could do this in my life or what he's called me to do. But I want to tell you what, that's all right. If you have to, bless God, you just roll them up a couple of licks down there. And you know if you keep walking by faith this year, you're going to grow into them. And God will just let those things down and you'll see something new. And he'll let them down and you'll see something new. Pretty soon, boy, you're going to be walking big. But he said, at first he said, you're living like a foreigner. The word of the Lord to you may seem like it's strange. Like, how does this fit? How can this be? Listen, he just obeyed. He said he didn't know all the answers. How many of you know? Listen, I found this out. If you get a real word from God, it's going to be bigger than your head. It's going to be bigger than what you can plan and work out. It's going to be bigger than that. Amen? So that was the first thing. So faith begins with that, a word spoken. A word spoken. I think the King James says that he sojourned in the land. That word sojourn comes from two Greek words that means, one means to dwell and the other one means to be in the vicinity. To dwell in the vicinity. See, when God gives you a word about your life or for your future, that word hasn't come to pass yet. See, some people, that's where they make their mistake. They don't want to go out. They don't want to obey. They're going to wait, well, as soon as it comes to pass, then I'll believe it. That's not faith. No, you have to sojourn. What does that mean? It means you've got to start moving to get in the vicinity of it. You may not have it yet. Abraham went to that land. It wasn't his yet, but he lifted up his eyes. He walked up and down. He talked to God. He was in what? He stayed in the vicinity of the promise. He stayed. He nurtured that. He built it up in himself. He kept walking and looking and thinking about what God had said and looking at the land. He sojourned in it. See, that's what you got to do. Some of you are sojourning in the land of worry. Others are sojourning in the land of fear and doubt. That's what's on your mind. That's what you're looking at. You're looking at your circumstance. That's all you can see. You're sojourning. Stop doing that. Sojourn in faith. Sojourn with God this year. Be like Abraham, the friend of God, and just begin to walk about the word that God speaks to you, the promise that God gives has given to you. And you begin to think about that. You begin to bring that word of God so that it dwells on the inside of you. And in this thing up here on top of your shoulders, you begin to think about it. You begin to meditate on it. You begin to speak it out. You know what you're doing? You're sojourning in faith. And listen, if you don't sojourn the word God gave you, it will not come to pass. Are you listening? It's a sojourn. In other words, faith is a choice. Amen. Look over to, you're there in Hebrews 11. Look in verse 23. Hold your place there, because I want to give you, I got something here I want to share with you about sojourning. Can I do that? 2 Kings chapter 2. Don't worry, we're going to get over there in just a minute back to Hebrews. 2 Kings chapter 2, listen to this. This is about when Elijah was taken up to heaven. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way to Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, now you know where Gilgal? Gilgal was the place where they first crossed the Jordan to possess the land. It was a place, okay, of conquest. It was a place of covenant. Because Gilgal was where the new generation were circumcised. Remember that? Elijah said to Elisha, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. Now we're talking about sojourning in faith this year. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as sure as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Bethel means house of God. In your sojourn this year, the Lord wants you in your sojourn to be connected to the house of God. Your sojourn of faith, because this is where you're going to be built up in faith. This is where God's going to speak to you and encourage you. Amen? Amen? Yeah. It says as they sojourned, the first place they went was to Bethel, the house of God. Yeah. I want to tell you, we need one another. Amen. I'm not just talking about you needing me. I need you. We need one another. Amen. None of us can do it on our own. Amen? And the house of God is a place where we come together, where iron sharpens iron. Where the word of the Lord comes to us, where we encourage one another in prayer, and our prayers go up for our city and for South Florida, where God begins to give us divine strategies, where gifts begin to be activated and imparted and begin to be released. It's the house of God. So in your sojourn this year, I want to encourage you by the Spirit of God, listen, let your sojourn include this, a fresh commitment to the house of God. I'm not talking about some institution. I'm talking about to one another. We are the dwelling place, the house of God. You know that, right? But notice he said they first went to Bethel. The company of the prophets came, you know, and said, you know, the Lord's going to take your master away. And they said, yeah, I know it. Now look in verse 4. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elijah. Notice every place Elijah had the opportunity to stop. In our sojourn of faith, I promise you this, you will have an opportunity to stop. Yeah. Can I get a witness? Please don't let me think I'm weird or strange. At least too weird or strange. You're walking out faith. I'm talking about faith for your future. I'm talking about what the word God speaks to you, and you begin to sojourn with that promise. You begin to sojourn in faith with that thing. And one of the things that will help you to continue in that thing is to be committed to the house of God. But you will always be tempted to stop at some place. And it says in verse 4, it says, then Elijah said to him, stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. Jericho means a place of fruitfulness.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about sojourning. A place of fruitfulness. So isn't it interesting that God says, if you go to Bethel, if you will sojourn first in Bethel, if you will connect yourself to the people of God, to the house of God, then you know what? There is then a next place that you can go and that He will bring us, and that is to a place of fruitfulness. God will begin to reveal our place and our gifting. God will begin to bring up the anointings of God within you and the will of God. And you know what? He will make you fruitful. You will begin to be fruitful. You will begin to manifest the glory of God. You will begin to manifest the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You will begin to reveal Jesus to a hurting and dying world. Amen? Jericho. We're talking about sojourning. And then finally, notice what he says. You know, the company of prophets came out there again. Verse 6. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, and the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they walked on, and you know, they went on down. He divided the waters, and they crossed over Jordan. Jordan means, is a type of death to self. Death to self. Or water baptism, same thing. It's a death to self. And he said, we're going down to Jordan. Now, I want you to follow me here. We're talking about sojourning in faith. Bethel, 30-fold. Jericho, 60-fold. Jordan, 100-fold. We're talking about a sojourn of faith. What do we want? See, we want the 100-fold, but we want to sojourn in the 30-fold. Because how many of you know, a commitment to Bethel, there's a level of commitment there that takes. But it's certainly not like Jordan. Oh, boy. Neither is Bethel the same as Jericho. Because, you know, Bethel is just, you know, I just show up and I sit on the pew. In this case, the seat. But I'm telling you, Jericho means what? I get activated with my faith. I participate. I begin to seek God in prayer. I begin to participate in prayer. I begin to participate in the outreaches that God's putting together and the ministries that are here. I begin to discover my gifting and begin to use that. And see, once you start doing that, you're a candidate for Jordan then. But you can't jump from Bethel to Jordan. Oh, no, honey. You can't do it. You can try, but you're going to strip a gear. You can't do it. So we're talking about sojourning. You ever thought about why didn't Abraham, how long does it take to make a baby? 9 months. And a few minutes. Just seeing if you're awake. But yet it took Abraham, it was nearly 25 years. I mean, was God just off his game for the first 24? He's trying to work up a power for a miracle for 24 years, and he finally got there. No, he had something he wanted to do in Abraham, didn't he? And you know, the receiving of the promise, you know, with Abraham, when Abraham left to the place where God sent him, that was his Bethel. And you know what? God blessed him 30-fold there. Isn't that true? And God, he kept walking with faith. He kept walking by faith. And then when Isaac finally came, that was his 60-fold. But I want to tell you where Abraham really received the blessing. Mount Moriah was his 100-fold. He said, give me Isaac. We're talking about sojourning in faith. Sojourning in faith. All right, turn back to Hebrews 11. Oh, yeah. Sure got Solomon here all of a sudden. I didn't cause you to lose your joy, did I? Okay, just checking. All right. But I want you to see that connection. See, we God speaks a word to us, and we think, you know, we're just going to jump right. Come on. This is where people get discouraged. They don't understand the operation of the kingdom. God gives them a word, and it doesn't happen overnight, and they're ready to quit. Or to say, well, that really wasn't a word from the Lord. Abraham went through that. We don't have time. But you know, if you know the story of Abraham, he and Sarah went through that phase, didn't they? It don't look like it's working. We better help the Lord. Well, they helped, all right. They might have been the first one with an Ishmael, but they certainly weren't the last, were they? You ever had any of those? Lord of mercy. Well, we won't go there. Hebrews 11:23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Notice here, faith is a choice. They made a choice. It doesn't say that God spoke to them. It doesn't say that they had an angelic visitation. It doesn't say anything. It just evidently they perceived something about Moses. There was no flash of lightning. There was no light like Paul had that knocked him off his horse, or in this case, their camel. No, it was just, they just perceived. You know what? There's something about this baby. There's something about it. And listen, that may be all you have to begin with to go on. You just perceive, God, I know you've got something good for me in 2011. I know you've got something. I know there's something more. I know there's a greater fruitfulness. I know there's more blessing. I know there's something here. And you, it may be just at that place where you just look at it and it's in its infancy stage and all you can do is just, you can't explain it all. You didn't have a word, a voice out of heaven. You didn't have an angelic visitation. But something on the inside of you says, I perceive. And out of that perception, I choose to believe God. Come on. See? Oh God, come down and give me, you know, a 4-page prophecy. Well, sometimes God does that, but He doesn't do it that. See, God doesn't do it that way every time, does He? Sometimes it may be just this year, you may just have a perception. As you're praying, as you're seeking God, you just may have an inner perception, an inner witness, an inner knowing. And you know what? You've got to make a decision. With just that to go on. Man. That's what, we've done that before, haven't we, honey? We went out not knowing. We went out not knowing. Man, I'm telling you what. Our families thought we were crazy. And they didn't mind telling us. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Man, you know, you're living a pipe dream. You're crazy. How you gonna live? And these were believers telling us this. Bless their heart. Well, bless their heart. By faith, Moses, verse 20, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I want you to see the choices. His parents made a choice. At some point, Moses made a choice. At this point, he hadn't seen no burning bush. Oh, if God just showed me a burning bush like Moses, that's it. But listen, you may have to do what Moses did before he got to the burning bush. See, we want to jump to the burning bush, don't we? But here, after Moses had been raised in Pharaoh's court, been called Pharaoh's son, he was a prince of Pharaoh. He had all this at his feet. He grew up. He came to a point to where he understood what, not fully, but he was beginning to understand, there's something different about me. God's got a plan and a purpose for me. And so he refused, what? To be tied to Egypt. He made a choice. Faith is a choice. And I want to tell you what, you know, some of us are going to have to let go of Egypt. Egypt represents security as well as other things. Come on. See, the reason the children of Israel, it seems crazy to us to read about them, you know, when they're in the wilderness, we're going around. Why in the world would they want to go back to Egypt, to making brick, to being slaves? It was security. Yeah, we have to work hard. Yeah, we're breaking our backs. Yeah, we're in bondage. But I know where the next meal's coming from. It may just be leeks and onions, but it's sure better than this manna. Come on. See, security will hold you back from moving out in faith for your future. Oh, boy. Listen, I'm not telling you something I don't know about, man. I've gone on the mission field, and we had two babies in diapers. Lord of mercy. And the nation we went to, you couldn't work there. They wouldn't allow foreigners to work. You couldn't hold it because you would take a job from somebody else. They wouldn't let you do that. Man, I'm not telling you something I know. I've been there. In those days, we didn't have the internet and all that stuff. We'd ever so often, I'd call back. You know, you call back home, talk to the secretary and say, how much money you got? None. Oh, hallelujah. I had to shout. If I didn't, boy, I'd have started crying. You know, sometimes you just got to shout. Or if you don't, you're going to start crying. My brain was going to lock up on me, you know. Because here's the thing. See, Egypt represents security. My job, my this, my that, my status, my this, my... That's what keeps people of God from moving on out into Abraham faith. Now, here's the thing. Let me bounce into this. Make sure you heard from God. Make sure you heard from God. But once you know you heard from God, then make the decision. Bless God, here we go. We're talking about faith for your future. It's a choice. You got to decide. Amen? Now, I want you to notice something here too. When you make this choice of faith, the first thing that faith changes is you. Before your circumstance, faith changes you. When Abraham was sojourning, when he went out, he didn't know much about faith. He knew just enough to get him going. Isn't that right? He took Lot with him, and he went through all that mess with Lot. How many of you know hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? Faith, but walking in faith's not always 20/20, is it? See, it says he went out not knowing what. He didn't know any. A lot of things he didn't know. He didn't know a lot about faith. He was learning, just like you and I. We're learning. And so the first thing faith did is it began to change him. It changed his attitudes. It changed his understanding of God and the kingdom. It changed his understanding of and perception about the timing of God and the purposes of God. That they were bigger than he. That what God had called him to was bigger than his own individual needs. Boy, I'm telling you, that's difficult. See, that's Jordan again. We're back at dying to self. But hold on here just a minute, Lord. What about me? What about my bills? What about? Come on. You've got to have a word, you know, from God for your future. And understand this, that first thing it's going to do is change you. It's going to change you. It's going to change that attitude that wants to hold on to the security of Egypt. It says Moses, he says, notice here, I want to read it again. Faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. All that security, all that and he chose to be mistreated. Oh, my goodness alive. What a crazy man. He chose to be mistreated. Along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Because he was looking ahead. Remember we said faith looks ahead? Fear looks around. Sure looks bad. Sure looks bad. Boy, I'm telling you. Isn't that what happened to Peter? He got out of the boat. He was looking out ahead to Jesus. He was walking fine. As soon as he started looking around, he became a wet water walker. I tell you what, I wouldn't mind being a wet water walker. I'd like to walk a few steps on water. He's got me beat so far. So I'm not being critical, but I'm saying we need to understand that. We've experienced that in our lives. But notice, he said he was looking ahead to his reward. So in this sojourn of faith, as you walk along, man, you know, you can't look around. You got to look ahead. You know, even Abraham, God spoke to him. He's at some point in time where Abraham had pitched his tent too long in one place, he said, Abraham, get up, begin to go up and down the land and check it out. Come on. There's a danger in camping too long in the last place God sent you. You know what I'm speaking? I'm talking about spiritually. Even though God sent you there at that time, even though you pitched your tent in faith, even though all of that was done in God, there may come a time when, listen, then it's time to move to the next place. And you got to be willing to let go. You see, that happens to individuals. It happens to churches. Oh, we can't. God told us to do that. Didn't we just read here about the prophet? God said to go to Bethel. Well, that's got to be it. But no, then all of a sudden God says, hey, I want you to go over here to Jericho. Then the next thing you know, God says, I want you to go over here to Jordan. Then the next thing you know, he's caught up in a fiery chariot. What a wild man. Listen, the walk of faith is called a walk. It's not called just, you know, sitting down. It's a walk. That means what? It's a journey. If we camp too long in one place, then we can't move forward. Come on. It is a good word, isn't it? So the power to transform. Look in verse 32, Hebrews 11. How many of you give me just a couple more minutes? It's 2 minutes after 12. Your pumpkin's still safe. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength. This is what the sojourn of faith is going to do for you. Somewhere in there, you're going to have to do it. Read that again. Okay. You like the way I read that? Yeah. What more shall I say? Hebrews 11:32. I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah. I don't either. David, Samuel, and the prophets. I wish I did. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Listen, you may not do all of those, but one of those you're probably going to have to do in your sojourn of faith. So the first thing that faith, that sojourn of faith, is going to begin to change you. So as we pray, as we seek God for 2011 this year during our time of prayer and fasting, listen, I want to encourage you, participate. You know what happened to the children of Israel when they tried to live off of last year's manna? It wasn't appetizing. It wasn't strength-giving. It wasn't nutrient-rich. And see, we can't just go off of that. Now, you can take it with you, but you can't just feed off of that. You got to get something fresh. What is God saying? Where are we headed? Where are we moving? Get a copy of the vision of the church here again. Read it with a fresh eyes of the Holy Ghost in prayer and begin to pray over that thing. Begin to say, God, where do I fit in? What's my part? Where's my gifts fit in here? God, we're going to do this for the kingdom. We're going to do this for those who are bound out there. My faith's going to make me powerful. It's going to take my weaknesses and turn it into strength. Isn't that right? Oh, I got to stop. Look there in Hebrews 12. Cindy can tell you, man, when I was on the mission field, man, we'd go 8-10 hours. I'm not kidding. We'd start at 9 o'clock in the morning. They'd just take a bathroom break, and they'd bring a sack lunch, and we'd go to 10, 11 o'clock at night. No air conditioning. No comfortable chair. Just hungry people. Hebrews 12. Don't worry, we're not going 8 hours today. Therefore, since we are surrounded, see, you understand now what he's saying, by such a great cloud of witnesses, all those we just read about and more that's there in Hebrews 11. And you know what? You're a witness too, if you're on a sojourn of faith. He said, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything. Everything that hinders. The sin that so easily entangles us. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You ever seen somebody run a race, maybe at the Olympics or something like that? You know, they're running, especially if they're running, you know, a long race. You know, they got, you know, so many lanes marked off there, don't they? And every person has a lane that's assigned to them. And that's what they run in. They run between those. If they get outside of those lines, they're disqualified, aren't they? Yep. They can't cut across the infield to the finish line. They're disqualified, aren't they? You have to run the race marked out for you. And see, if we are not understanding what the race is for our lives, what God is speaking to us, because He's going to give us clarification. He's going to give us understanding concerning this race we're already in, so we can continue to stay in our lane and run our course and finish the race and receive the prize. But see, so many of us, see, we don't know what our lane is. So I look over here and I see Pastor Dwayne running his race, and boy, that looks good, so I jump over in his lane. But the problem is, that's not my race, that's his race. But I'm running hard, Pastor, I'm running hard. Me and Pastor Dwayne, boy, we're running hard. I'm sweating, I'm putting in effort, that's all great. The problem is, you're in the wrong lane. Come on. It is good. I'm trying to help you. So here's the thing. We're going to run the race this year. I want to read you one more verse, and then we're going to pray. 2 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read it from the Amplified, but you can read here. We're talking about faith for the future. Faith for our future. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. Examine and test and evaluate your brothers and sisters. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, my glasses had a spot on. Examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Test and prove yourselves, not Christ. Whoa. Do you not yourselves realize and know thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are counterfeits, disproved upon trial and rejected? Wow. I'm going to read that one more time. That's a lot to digest, isn't it? But notice, this is not a suggestion, is it? Examine and test and evaluate your own selves. See, during this time of prayer and fasting, that's what we're to be doing, part of it. You know, I'm not praying and fasting right now so that, you know, God will straighten you out. Or straighten the pastor out. No, he said to examine. That doesn't mean I don't need some straightening out, but right here he says examine yourselves. Isn't that right? And test and evaluate your own selves. That's what we're going to be doing. To see whether you are holding to your faith. Am I, Lord, am I running the race? Am I in the right lane? Am I still moving forward? Have I sat down? Have I gotten complacent? You know, all of these things. What we're examining, our own faith. Holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it, Lord. Show me the fruits of my faith. Where are the fruits of my faith, Lord? Where are the fruits of my faith? Test and prove yourselves. Not Christ, yourselves. This is a time for testing and proving ourselves. Holy Spirit, you shine the light. Holy Spirit, you open up. I want to see, where am I at? Am I at 30-fold? Some believers are not even 30-fold. They haven't even got a commitment where they can be consistently faithful to the house of God. You hear one Sunday out of four. Well, it gets quiet, don't it? Test and prove yourself, not Christ. Do you realize, do you not know yourselves, realize and know thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience? See, this is the problem. If you stay at 30-fold and don't move to 60-fold, if you stay at 60-fold too long and don't move to 100-fold, if you're not in the process, somewhere along the line, you're going to get stale. Your faith's going to get stale. You're going to dig in your heels, and the Holy Spirit's going to be trying to move you on and try to move on the house of God that you're a part of, but you got your heels dug in. He says it's an ever-increasing experience, 30, 60, 100. That Jesus Christ is in you unless you are what? Counterfeited, disproved, on trial, and rejected. So we're talking about faith for your future. This next week we're having special guests in. Pastor Dwayne's will make some announcements here real quick in just a moment after I pray. And after that, we're going to have a week, at least a week minimum, of a time of prayer and fasting where I encourage you. Now, I know we got visitors, and so I'm talking to the people here, but if you're a believer, it'd be good for you too. To take this week of prayer and fasting where we can begin to do just what the Scripture says. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit and the Word to examine us. Not somebody else, ourselves. And we're going to get a renewed word or a new word.